We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Rob Hummel. And you look pretty good for somebody that was on your grind this past weekend, Rob. I mean, this was a doubleheader. It probably brought you back to your AAU days when you had to actually play multiple games. Yeah, work a little bit, you know?
Yeah, the old two games in the day down at the Milk House at Disney, right? That's what that was like.
But you were young then. Now you're.
I was. You know what? I just want you to clip this and remember this in July when all you do is trash me for not doing anything. That I do actually sometimes have to work. And unlike, look at you in South Carolina with a beautiful chef's kitchen behind you,
yeah,
eating Twizzlers. Well, like the fat boy that you are. And, yo, your tweet. Okay, first of all, for anyone that didn't see it, Jeff sent this really stupid-ass tweet about my list of demands that I made on my ride down to...
Do you have the tweet there of the demands that you made?
I could pull it up. Let me find it.
Let's find the
But this
made.
Tweet that you tweeted has been beneficial for me.
This was a
good
source.
And I look forward to saying why.
This was a good source. I'm going to read it. I have it here. This was a source that told me the demands that you made to go from Rutgers to the Palestra. Okay, you had the Rutgers game in the afternoon, then you had the big Purdue Penn State game at the Palestra. A source told me that this was your list of demands to be able to do both games. The temperature in the limo set exactly at 70 degrees for the entire ride. Pillows and blankets. I'm told it might have even been your childhood blankie that you wanted delivered for the drive. Champagne, Cool Ranch Doritos, and then two bags of Twizzlers. I don't know if they were the family size or just the regular size bag here.
But... All right, so that tweet was dumb in itself. But then some random guy who follows you said, what did he say? Can you find his tweet off of what? It was something about how he's never seen anyone on television who I think that guy eats two bags of Twizzlers than me.
That's right.
Here it is.
Tom Wyatt. I've never looked at a guy and thought he definitely eats Twizzlers faster than Hummel.
What makes me look like I eat Twizzlers fast? Like what gives that away? Is it I'm fat or I don't
you
understand.
Have that look about you.
I just have a look. And when you look at me, you say, man, that dude crushes some Twizzlers. Man, he just goes in. But the real win of this story, outside of getting to call two really good Big Ten games in one day, which was a great time, and my first time to the Palestra, which was very cool, was the fact that Brian Cardinal texted me from Purdue like a day or two after and said, hey, I've got a family friend who's they're a Purdue family, and one of their daughters is a vice president at Hershey's. And apparently Hershey's makes Twizzlers, and she wants to get in contact with you. Do you mind if I give her your number? So I was like, yeah, that's totally fine. Sure. So she reaches out to me and she was like, you know, thank you so much for driving some of the conversation to Twizzlers on social media, even though I didn't actually tweet anything. Your dumbass did. And then Tom made it sound like I'm the greatest Twizzler eater in the history of the planet. So they said they wanted to send me a care package. So I'm getting all this candy from Hershey's sent my way, apparently. So thank you for that. Maybe NIL will be coming my way from Hershey's here.
Just so you know, marketing agents get 20% on all deals.
No, you're not getting shit. You're not getting shit. You already make me come on this show once a week. That is your commission. My presence here on the Goodman and Hummel pod is your commission.
Maybe you can get a Doritos. Do you like Doritos too? Maybe they'll reach out.
I mean, I'll take whatever I can get. I'm late to the NIL party. I didn't get it as a player, so now I'm really trying to get it as an announcer.
All right. Well, let me know when the box of Twizzlers comes in.
Yes, I will. You'll receive a picture, the care package I'm about to receive.
I'm actually a big Twizzlers guy. I can see that.
I
love them. I made the whole rest of the
Well, Tom, if you're listening, it looks like Jeff's the guy that can house Twizzlers faster than any man on the planet, not me.
I did at a Providence game once. Somebody took a picture of me eating a bag of Twizzlers. I polished them off. Honestly,
how proud of you?
Before the 16.
How proud were you of that photo? How proud were you of that photo of you just crushing Twizzlers?
Can't be any worse than how I look right now down here in Charleston. All right, let's get to some business here. What do you want to start with? I'm going to give you your choice. You have two options. We can start with Kentucky and the shit show that it is right now with John Calipari and Big Blue Nation. Or you can talk about Indiana.
Who's in worse shape?
That is down there in Bloomington right now.
Yeah, who do you think is in a worse place right now?
Well, I mean,
I guess Kentucky, because Indiana at least has injuries that they are definitely suffering from and have been suffering from.
And the other part is it's year two of the Mike Woodson.
Yeah. No doubt.
The expectations Kentucky's in a worse so place. High. Yeah, they're so high. So let's start with Kentucky. Let's start with Kentucky, and then we'll move on to Indiana. Cal hasn't been to the he hasn't won a tournament game, and I think let me pull it up. It's 1,385 days now. That was the last time. Now the tournament was obviously canceled in 2020, but
I'm trying to just refresh my memory. I know last year they lost to St. Peter's.
2 years ago they were terrible. They didn't make the tournament.
That's right.
Remember that was the kind of pandemic. The cut. They were 9-6.
Yeah. They stunk. Okay.
And then this year, they're 1-3 in the SEC for the first time since 1986-87, Rob. Yeah. So the natives are getting restless because Big Blue Nation, you know, they're tired of getting all these players. And I think it kind of started years ago in a sense. I mean, they were so good early, right? He went to, I think it was like, you know, four times that he got to the Final Four in the first 6 years or something like that.
It was their team with Anthony Davis, the one at all, was unbelievable. The talent really, on that team is crazy.
He picked up. I mean, again, he took over for Billy Clyde, and he brought all those dudes there. So from day one, it was like John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe. They had dudes from day one.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it fell off a little bit, and people started to get upset when he – remember the comment basically he made was like, you know, getting players to the league was more important than winning.
They didn't like that.
They did not.
They didn't like that, I can tell you.
Right. Because, they want talent.
On that note, you told me an incredible stat about how many NBA players that Kentucky has had since, 2015? 2016?
Yes. And that's the Final Four? After the 2015 season, which is their last Final Four, they have had,
18 NBA players.
18 NBA players. You know how many Bill Self had?
Probably like six,
nine,
seven.
Nine. Yeah. Yeah. And he's had double the amount of top 50 players as Bill Self as well.
I mean, Bill Self has proven that he can win with lesser talent. That dude is an unbelievable basketball coach.
There's no denying. Let me give you kind of my thoughts on this, of why it's fallen off on Cal a little bit. And you can push back on me if you want. But I think there's a couple things at play here from talking to people close to Cal. One of which is, and this isn't even talking to anybody close to Cal, he had a guy named John Robick for years. John Robick was assistant back at UMass days. He was a head coach for a little while in the I think at Youngstown State, came back, and he was his X's and O's guy. And John has dealt with some personal issues over the last few years and is no longer on staff. And I think that has really, really hurt Cal, because I don't think Cal – and Barbie was there too, and he was kind of his X's and O's guy for a while. And he's gone now. He's back as a head coach in the MAC at one of those directional Michigan schools. I can't get them all straight, so I can't remember. I think it was Western.
We did dig deep in your research.
It might be Central. It's either Central or Western, because I know –
It's
I know
not Imani's Western because no, it's not Western because that's Dwayne Stevens from Michigan.
So then it is Central Michigan. It's Central. Anyway, Cal now is being exposed to some degree as an average X's and O's guy. You know, he's got three guys on the staff that are really good. Orlando Antigua was a former head coach at South Florida. He didn't do well down there. Chin Coleman came over from Illinois. KT Turner came over this year as an assistant. I just don't know if Cal is listening to those guys, relying on them enough. I don't know who's coaching the team. But, again, I think the loss of John Robick has really caught up with John Calipari from an X's and O's standpoint. That's one. Number two, I think coming out of the pandemic – I don't think Cal's had the same work ethic that he once did. I think
recruiting, you know, or where?
Recruiting. Probably everything a little
doesn't
bit.
Doesn't he have the number one class in the country coming in next year?
He does. Though? He does next year. But it's well, all I'm saying is he might – one of them was hand-fed to him, which is DJ Wagner, right? Like, yeah. All he had to do really was beat out Kenny Payne.
In okay, Louisville. But still, he's got the number one player in the class. That's...
He does. But again, that was given to him by DeJuan Wagner, who he coached at Memphis. Like, yeah. That was, like, handed to him. Spoon-fed. Okay? Like,
he still deserves credit for it. He's got the number one class in the country next year.
So it's not just recruiting. I'm told it's everything. It's everything that, you know, prior to the pandemic, he just knew one way. Grind, grind, grind. Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. And then everybody in the pandemic, it changed everything.
No, I mean, life came to a halt. Yeah.
From a recruiting standpoint, it was like, all right, you don't have to travel as much. From a work standpoint, it was like, all right, this is kind of nice, right? Like, I don't have to go at the same 100 miles an hour. I can figure out different ways now. And I think he enjoys that. I honestly think it's something where it's like, all right, I've earned it. I'm 63 years old. I'm in my 60s now. I'm not going to work like I did in my 40s or maybe even 50s. Yeah. And I think that has, I don't know if caught up with him is the right word, but it's changed. It's changed kind of the way he works. And again, like when you looked at this team before the season, Rob, didn't you think like, all right, they got a chance. They got shooters. They got the best big man in the country.
They had everything. They had everything.
2 point guards. A pro in Cason Wallace, maybe not as many pros. That's the one difference, right? This Kentucky team doesn't have the number of pros that they're accustomed to having.
That's totally fair. But I still think that it doesn't add up when you look at their talent and then you look at their on-court performance, especially offensively. I just think that watching their offense, it's like watching a team from 15 years ago. And if you have good shooters, but you don't get them good shots, that doesn't necessarily matter. They went 3 of 10 from three in the loss to South Carolina. What good team now is taking 10 threes? And Indiana's dealt with this some too. Yeah, you know, both of these teams are similar that like they cannot shoot from the perimeter.
But you have CJ Frederick, who, oh, by the way, shot 47%.
But you have to get him looks. Right. You can't just be like, okay, yeah, yes, he's a good shooter. Right. If you play him in horse, he's going to make everything he takes.
Right.
But if he's taking contested threes, which if you're not generating good looks, I just – that doesn't matter. He needs to be open. He needs somebody else to get him the ball in a place where he can use the skill that he has.
So what do you do? I wrote a story yesterday about that, and I talked to a couple coaches that have played Kentucky so far this year, and one of them, I'll give you a couple of the quotes. I know you were really busy, so you didn't read it because you've been, you know.
I don't read any of your stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. He said, here's one quote. I think he's lost the players. Their offense is so shitty. He doesn't run anything for their guards. He has no idea how to use Cason Wallace.
Williams.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
No. I don't. I don't argue with that. But you asked, what should they do?
Yeah.
There's still no debating that if you have the number one class in the country, there's not many people that or many universities that have that type of
talent,
recruiting ability.
Right. You lost to South Carolina.
If I'm Mitch Barnhart, I'm going to Cal, and I'm saying the staff needs we need an X and O offensive guy. Whether it's John Beilein, not that I'm saying that he'd come, but somebody of that ability to where, all right, you're getting an offensive coordinator. Like, we know that you can win here. You have one here.
Yeah, if you're staying.
Right. The buyout is insane. We're not –
Here's the buyout, Rob, just so we're on the same page with this. All right, so here's the buyout. The buyout is he's got 6 years left, okay? And they would owe him 75% of his remaining salary, which is about $40 million after this year, okay?
So it's not as bad as, like, the Jimbo Fisher buyout.
Not close, because there's also an offset. So if Cal gets hired by, let's say, Texas, just for argument's sake, if he gets hired by Texas and they sign him to what's going to happen? He's not going to go for, even with the offset, he's not going to go for like, you know, 2 million. They could maybe backload it and try to figure out a way. But let's say, for argument's sake, he goes to Texas for a 6-year deal at $5 million a year, which is $30 million. Well, then there's an offset and they're only going to owe him, you know, I don't want to say minimal money, but it's not close to the 40.
Yeah, not
million.
Nearly as catastrophic as it seems.
So to me,
if I was Mitch Barnhart, I would do we need an offensive coordinator. We cannot continue to run offense like this. You've proven you can win. We know you can recruit. You've got a great class coming in, but we've got to run some different stuff. We have got to have somebody come in here and overhaul the offense.
I agree. I mean, I would have already said, let's hire John Beilein's a consultant right now for the Pistons. I don't know how much he's working for the Pistons, but
heard he works out their young guys a lot.
Does he?
That's what but I had heard that. Yes.
But I'm sure you could get him down there if Cal really wanted him, but he's a guy that you would say absolutely.
But I think it might even need to be more than just a consultant.
Right.
We need an assistant on staff who is
known as a guy right now getting Beilein down there. Like,
but
tomorrow.
That's also going to take John Calipari to swallow some of his pride there and say, all right, you're right, we do have a problem.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't either, but I kind of like your deal. I mean, I said it's probably run its course 14 years and both sides might be ready to move on for a fresh start.
But isn't the coordinator thing a win for sides in the sense that, okay, this guy has won a national title. This guy has gotten us to Final Fours, and he's gotten us pros.
Yeah.
The talent's not been the issue. It's how the talent's being used.
I love that idea, Rob. I think that's a better idea. Because if you fire him now, you lose that number one class. And I wrote, okay, listen, I don't love how Robert Dillingham and DJ Wagner fit together. I've been on the record saying that. Again, guys that are high volume guys aren't great shooters. They have a kid Edwards coming in who's a talented wing, and they got the best big man in the country maybe coming in up front. He's long, so they have all the talent again. I do think if you fired him and brought in whether it's like a Nate Oates or a Musselman or Bruce Pearl, they'd get dudes immediately.
No, they would. They would. Right. Why do you think teams like Kentucky and Indiana have maybe recruited more to, and Kentucky definitely, Indiana maybe some, recruited more so to, I want to say, rankings opposed to production? I mean, the shooting on both these teams is just abysmal.
Yeah.
Abysmal. Well, and then you look at other teams, and Purdue is a great example. Lesser ranked guys, but shot makers.
Right, a lot of those one-dimensional – now, Grady Dick being like an exception, right?
Because, but he's not a one-dimensional shooter. He's got games.
We didn't know that.
Well,
I'll tell you what, I saw him 2 summers ago, and he looked like a one-dimensional shooter.
But, Jeff, if you can shoot, then you can do other things. Because defenses have to close out to you, shot fake, one dribble pull-up, shot fake to the rim. If I have a skill set and I can shoot, then I can really play, as long as I'm at least a decent athlete.
You got to be an average defender.
No, I agree. But like, okay, if you're recruiting some of these classes and you got four guys committed, They're all top 40 players. They're all incredible athletes. Get to the basket, high volume scores.
Yep.
That doesn't make sense in a fit together method to me. Yes, it looks good on paper when you have four guys in the top 50. Why not take two guys who are more volume or big time athletes and pair that with the best shooter in the class?
I said that about Kentucky's class, their number one class.
But Indiana as well. I don't understand. Wagner
both need the ball in their hands. Now, maybe they'll prove me wrong and they can coexist and they're awesome together. All I know is if the PGM, neither one can make a shot from beyond the arc. Dillingham, supposedly a better shooter. Maybe I caught him in a bad week. Okay.
But still, my point is, wouldn't you rather have a class that maybe isn't number one?
Yes.
Maybe it's more of number 20 and you've got, okay, a kid that's 140, elite shooter. You've got a kid that's 20, big time athlete, get to the basket, volume score. I just feel like some of the ways that these classes are getting put together don't make any sense. And the lack of shooting in an era where shooting is the most important thing. Now, granted, you got to create, you have CJ Frederick, and it feels like he's never open because they don't run stuff for him, and he's not getting the ball.
They did add two really good shooters, CJ.
I know, but this is all connected. It's the scheme, but it's also, and it again, yes, they do have two guys that can shoot on this team.
Proven.
In Antonio Reeves and CJ Frederick, but I still don't understand some of the recruiting deals of this where it's like, man, this does not fit together.
It's taken forever for Cal to get shooters, right? Like he finally got two shooters in CJ Frederick and Antonio Reeves, but it's almost like he has no idea how to use.
Well, think about the 2012 team. They weren't lighting it up from three.
They never have.
But the game has changed. Right. The game has changed to where now the teams that win are teams that make a lot of threes. That's the way that basketball's gone.
So, all right. I'm glad we had this conversation because, you know, I was torn on Cal because I've actually defended Cal for the last year or so and saying these people are idiots for saying that he should be fired.
Right.
And now I'm just like, you know what? Has it just kind of, again.
If they mutually do it, I'm with you, but I don't think that that's the best case scenario for Kentucky. The best case scenario to me is you hang on to Cal, you hang on to the number one recruiting class, and you bring somebody in to completely overhaul the offense next year. If he's willing to give that up, which who knows?
All right. Next.
We'll go to Indiana.
Yeah, we're going to go to Indiana. And my poor daughter, man. My poor daughter. She gets here. She's so excited about Indiana basketball. Everybody is, you know. They're the de facto Big Ten preseason favorite, despite the fact, and it's a little bit not to the same level of Carolina, obviously, last year, because Carolina went all the way to the title game.
Yeah, it's not the same.
No, it's not. I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm saying it's these guys hadn't really done anything.
That's the thing. They lost by 40 points to St. Mary's in the NCAA tournament. And granted, their travel was horrific. That's not a situation that you're being set up to win, but
they barely got in the tournament. They
barely made the tournament,
right? They had to beat Michigan and Illinois just to get in, and the whole mantra of Indiana basketball changed based on those two games. And really, was it justified? I don't know. All right, here's my take, Rob.
Before you start, injuries have played a big part.
That's where I was going first to set it up. Indiana's lost three straight games. The one that I think is going to be the killer for multiple reasons here is the Iowa game, because they had that 10 minutes in the game. They are
up 20 points, up 21.
Crushing Iowa at Iowa, crushing them. And then Race gets hurt.
And you know what? That's a tough deal, because when you have a player who has a serious injury, it can shell shock your group. And they look shell shocked after that.
They've already lost Xavier Johnson for potentially the season.
They missed Huchefino's been in and out with the back thing.
And here's what I will say.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You got New Year's goals, and HelloFresh is here to help you achieve them. Skip the grocery store and take control of your time and budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your doorstep. With HelloFresh, eating well in the new year can be stress-free and delicious. They've got 35 weekly recipes. They have the options, all the options you're looking for to help you achieve your goals. Choose calorie smart and carb smart recipes, or even customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides, upgrading your proteins, or adding protein to a veggie dish. I've got it. I got it back in Newburyport. I got it coming to me here in Charleston right now. And I absolutely love it because, honestly, it's so easy. Everything's right there for you, all the ingredients, all the instructions. All you have to do is put it together pretty quickly and easy. And I'm not a huge guy when it comes to cooking, but even my wife said she really likes it. So honestly, go to HelloFresh.com/21Field68 and use that code 21Field68 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. Again, go to HelloFresh.com/21Field68. Use that code again, 21Field68 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. To Indiana fans watching, Trace Jackson Davis is really, really hurt. Hurt, really gutting it out. A lot of
the
guys,
way he runs. I mean, the way he's running, he doesn't look right.
Not healthy. He's not healthy. And this kid deserves a ton of credit because a lot of guys in his position right now, Rob, with NIL and the draft stock, they'd be out. They'd say, you know what? There's no way I'm going out here. But I give him credit. He's trying to win games, trying to help his team get on track, trying to get back to the NCAA tournament. So Trace is hurt. Xavier Johnson is out. Race Thompson is out. Jalen Huchefino has been hurt. There's a lot of stuff going on here with Indiana that people probably aren't giving them enough leeway. They're not going to win the Big Ten. We know that. But I told my daughter, I'm like, they just got to get to the tournament.
That would be definitely. I agree with you 100%. Injuries have decimated their team. But that doesn't excuse the lack of execution defensive game plan wise. I mean, they gave up 84 points to Northwestern.
Yeah.
And Northwestern has had a very good season. They had a tough loss last night. They are a defensive team. Their offensive efficiency going into last night's game was 162nd in college basketball. Oh, and they give up 84 points to them. But to start the game, you know, Robbie Barron had really struggled. He's been very up and down in his time in Evanston. First play of the game, simple back screen, no one opens up, layup. He goes for 13. Like, you give this guy, you get his head up, he's on scholarship.
Right.
He's a top 75 player coming out of high school. He's got ability. I mean, you give up a wide open layup, and now all of a sudden he makes two threes, right? The containing of the bounce, boo-booey. I mean, they just could not keep him in front. You look at the ball screen stuff, total breakdowns in their ball screen defense. Last night against Penn State, they shoot more threes than anybody in the league. Penn State is trying to not turn it over, and they are trying to go bombs away from three. That is Micah Shrewsbury's recipe to win. They give up 18 three-pointers. 18. Right. Seth Lundy makes 12. Seth Lundy makes 7. Andrew Funk makes 7. That is, I mean, just the execution of the game plan. And I was listening to Mike Woodson's press conference on the drive home from Evanston last night. And he said, we had a good game plan. Well, that tells me that if you think your game plan was good, then your players did an absolutely horrific job of executing it.
Right.
Because 18 threes in a game, is terrible. That cannot happen. And I agree that there's injuries, but still the carryover from what they are working on from a scouting report standpoint, taking it to the game has been abysmal. And that needs to be something where, all right, we might lose, but we're going to execute the way that we want to execute. And they're not doing that right now.
As you know, I was not the most complimentary when they hired Mike Woodson. Okay. 63 years old, came over, had never coached in college. Okay. That's hard to do. And I'll go back to the same thing I've said over and over. It's not personal on Mike Woodson, Patrick Ewing, Chris Mullin, Fred Hoiberg 2.0, Aaron McKee, 2.0. Jerry Stackhouse, Penny Hardaway. I mean, I know people are going to try to say Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway has been to one tournament in 4 years at Memphis. That's not good. That's not good. And right now they're on the bubble. They just lost to UCF. They lost to Tulane last week. Juwan Howard, you know, is the one guy you kind of a year ago, you were like, all right, he's the guy.
Yeah,
they're not great right now. Hubert Davis, he was the guy. And Hubert,
made the national, different. But Hubert Davis made the national title game last year.
Hubert Davis is different too, because he was like 8 years on the bench with Roy Williams.
Yeah.
So a little bit different when you grinded it out for a while as an assistant, at least before. But some of these guys, man, they just, again, I don't want to paint a broad brush, but I'm going to here. They come in and they don't understand how much time and work, especially to rebuild. You know, it's one thing Juwan Howard takes over for John Beilein, and the brand's strong at Michigan. The culture's strong. He takes over a good job. It's those like Chris Mullin at St. John's when it's not good.
But that was like, I felt like Chris Mullin at St. John was a Hail Mary. This has declined. Yes. And you know what? Maybe here's the pass. Yeah. Maybe the best player that we've ever had will save us. You know, like that to me is stupid. What that was.
So dumb. You miss on guys and you're like, okay. You know, same thing with Georgetown. All right, we missed on a couple guys. All right, let's go get Patrick. Yeah. And instead of like, all right, Patrick, like, we'll hire you, but you better have an unbelievable staff. That's what Hoiberg had 1.0. Hoiberg at Iowa State had an unbelievable staff. He had T.J. Otzelberger. You know, he kept T.J. from Greg McDermott's staff. So I think part of it is that. I mean, but again, going back to Indiana –
But the knock on Mike Woodson was, well, how's he going to recruit? He's never recruited. That hasn't been the issue. Hood Schifino's a beast. He's probably an NBA player after this season.
Oh, totally.
Malik Reneau is talented. He maybe hasn't – he's had to play behind Race and Trace, and now he's getting a bigger opportunity. He's been inconsistent, but he has a lot of ability. You know, Malik Reneau is going to be a good player.
And they've got good, like, Tamar Bates and Jordan Geronimo, and some of these dudes are, like, good – not stars.
But Jordan Geronimo makes a lot of mistakes out there. He's a very good athlete.
Yep.
He sometimes defensively, it looks like he has no idea what's going on. But you watch the last couple of games, I think their whole team looks like they have no idea what's going on defensively. I don't know. On offense, it's tough for Trace because he's getting loaded up on. They're daring them to shoot threes. They were 4 of 14 last night. They don't make a lot. They don't take a lot. And then defensively, that was a strength last year. And with the injuries, it's really regressed.
Listen, Calipari went out and added shooters. Mike Woodson did not. That's
I mean, he thought that Miller Kopp is a shooter and Tamar Bates is a shooter. That's what he was looking at. I'm sure CJ Gunn is known as a shooter, but he doesn't play a whole lot, but
right. I mean, you needed to go in the portal.
You know, they needed Connor Assegin.
Right.
I mean, Connor Assegin at Wisconsin would be great on this team. Moves off the ball, shoots it. Look at a guy like Cam Spencer.
Right.
Cam Spencer is awesome at Rutgers. Second game-winning shot last night.
Toughish.
On the road. Guard. Second in the Big Ten steals. They needed a guy like that.
Yeah.
But I still think, though, they break down on so much action. Their defense is soft.
What is a successful season? Like I said, is it just
making the NCAA tournament would be successful at this point with the injuries? Now Indiana's fan base is not going to take that, and the fact that you've got fans and players now sparring on social media,
is that right?
Yeah, you didn't see that
Miller Kopp.
Miller Kopp.
Shocking.
It was, yeah, but it was other guys too. You know, it was a meme was posted by an Indiana fan account about, it was that stupid pyramid of, I get my hopes up and then my hopes come crashing down and I start to believe hopes up, and had an IU logo in it. And it was like, this is our season. And, you know, I mean, when you think about it, Indiana has beat none of the marquee opponents they've played besides Xavier. That win has gotten better and better. They lost at Rutgers.
Yeah.
They got beat by Arizona in a fairly close game. They got dump trucked to Kansas.
Close. That was,
I mean,
close.
Six points. They
but
had opportunities.
A 6-point game.
But I thought that in the Arizona game, every time they made a run, Arizona just answered that call. I thought Arizona played really, really well in the game. And I thought Indiana did some good things, but Arizona was just better. Yeah. Kansas was horrific. And then the Iowa loss, like you said, I think they'll look back on that and say, man, that hurts. Because their schedule now, Wisconsin at home, we'll see if Tyler Wall plays.
Yep.
Illinois on the road, they're playing better. That's a massive game. Michigan State at home, you get a reprieve with Minnesota away. And then it's Ohio State at home, Maryland away, Purdue at home, Rutgers at home, at Michigan. I mean, it's just.
And if Trace isn't healthy.
And it just gets worse and worse. I mean, at Northwestern. Illinois, Michigan State, Purdue.
What do you do with Trace? I mean, to me, at some point, you might have to shut him down. If you shut him down 2 weeks without Trace, your season could be over.
Oh, it could be. It definitely could be. And that depends on, I don't know.
His pain tolerance, how effective.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how he feels and what he can handle. Because
I love Trace.
No, he's a great kid.
Oh,
he's a great kid.
Like one of the nicest, most honest kids I've ever been around. And to see him be a, kind of a shell of himself, but again, fighting through it for the team. When again, a lot of dudes would be like, you know what, I've just got to be drafted at this point. I'm not going. But I think hopefully NBA guys will see that, and you know, because the one knock on Trace over the years has been, you know, he's too soft, and now I think he's showing some of that toughness and fight and will.
It'll be interesting for him, though, at the next level of what is his position.
I don't know. He's got to be able to make shots.
Yeah, but he can.
Well, but he's got to be able to. He's got to work on it. He's got to get in the gym and be able to make 16, 18-footers.
You don't think he's been working on that the last 4 years?
I hope so.
He's definitely worked. I think he's a great college player.
Yeah.
He's an elite athlete, especially when he's healthy. But his skill set, I don't think, translates to what the NBA is looking for at this point.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard to argue with that right now. And I've said this too: the Xavier Johnson injury crushed Indiana in multiple ways. It crushed him for this year because, again, with him, I think, you know, you got another win or two, and then they're going to lose Jalen Hood-Schifino because Xavier Johnson.
Now his role has increased and he's balling. Yeah,
he'll be out after a year. All right, let's go on to another team that nobody has been talking about, Rob. I honestly feel like nobody has been talking about Michigan State. You just saw them last night?
Two nights ago.
I can't keep track. The days right now get tough. But you saw them beat Wisconsin in Madison. Now, again, without Tyler Wall. So you put a little bit of an asterisk next to that win. But Michigan State's played without some dudes for a while.
Yeah, I mean, they've been banged up and finally they're healthy, but they've won seven straight. And Tyler Wall not being in that game certainly hurts Wisconsin, the Badgers. It just puts so much on Chucky Hepburn and Stephen Crowell to create. And Essien had a really nice first half, but Michigan State.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 depends on team members you surround yourself with. That's the most important thing. So that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people with the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. I've used them before. I've gotten really, really good people because, again, That's what it does. It fits exactly what you need and really easy. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go beyond resume data by using insight from your job post, your company, and their 875 million member profiles to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job qualifications, all on one platform. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. It's the only place that I would go again to try to hire somebody, find the right candidates, and make the right hires. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/good. That's LinkedIn.com/good to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Really pretty much blanketed him in the second. I was impressed with Joey Hauser. You know, he has had a quietly, I would say, the best season of his career.
Yeah.
And it's not just been his shooting. I want to say coming into that game at the Kohl Center, he was 4 of his last 18 from 3 over the prior 4 games, but was still averaging 10, 10, and 4 and 4 assists. And in years past, if Hauser wasn't shooting well, I'd say just chalk it up. He's not going to play well.
Yeah.
But even though he hasn't shot great, he's still found ways to impact the game on the glass and also making some plays for other people. He was awesome down the stretch. And then A.J. Hogard was too. A.J. Hogard made every play late. Michigan State goes 8 for their last 8 from the field. They were tough. Hogard made big baskets. Hepburn took a forced bad 3 at the end. Just a good road win. A really good road win, even without Tyler Wall. It was a good crowd at the Kohl Center. And Michigan State, I think, is starting to maybe show that they belong in that upper tier of Big Ten teams. I think Purdue is in a class by itself right now. But I do think that Michigan State is a team that has the potential to be there. And I would put Rutgers right there with them.
Well, it's funny because, again, we kind of wrote off Michigan State a little bit early, right? I mean, in Portland, they weren't great, but they were.
But they were injured. I mean, injured. They weren't
really injured.
Malik Hall is so important to this team, and Jaden Akins is too.
Yes, and Akins was hurt in the preseason, then he gets hurt again. I feel like we're not going to get the true Jaden Akins until maybe February.
Yeah, probably not. He does. He did say, I read, where he finally feels 100%, but I don't think he's playing. He's not playing back to 100%. Tom Izzo said that in the summer he was their best player.
To me, I think, again, when you look at their overall sum of their parts, they're good. They're older. They got a bunch of good players. They don't have a star. We know that. They didn't go in the portal, which in one way hurt them. On another way, did not, because you return kind of the same guys. They all know their roles. They've been there. They played with one another. So that's the positive. You know, here's the thing, Rob. Like, while every other seemingly big program has had their bad years, and their bad years, look at Villanova right now. They're not going to make the tournament, most likely. Yep. Arizona had it years ago after Lute Olson was dealing with some health issues. They went through it right before Sean Miller took over in Tucson. We've seen it at UCLA, obviously. We've seen it at Carolina. We see it right now at Kentucky. Duke struggling a little bit. You know, Duke's been pretty damn consistent over the years. But Michigan State, they've gone to 23 straight NCAA tournaments, Rob. I mean, Tom Izzo is like the model of consistency. And the one guy, if you're going to put your money on somebody that's going to figure it out year in and year out, it is Tom Izzo, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting to see this year, they've kind of gotten away from some of their staples. This is the slowest team from an offensive pace that they have ever had in the KenPom era. Since 2010, when they started keeping track of average possession length, this is as slow as team. They did find some things in transition a couple nights ago at Wisconsin, but they're not doing that. And then the rebounding, they're 209th in offensive rebound percentage. I mean, when I played at Purdue.
They don't have a 5-man. They don't really have one.
Sissoko. Yeah, Sissoko.
Yeah.
But when I played at Purdue, the couple days leading up to our games against Michigan State, the only things we did were rebounding drills and transition defense. And the first time I played against Michigan State was my freshman year at home. I didn't play in the first game we played. I was sick, so I didn't play. And
you are so soft. You didn't.
No, that is weak. But I was throwing up all night. Like I was really
care. Your first game against Michigan State, and you bailed out.
Yeah, I did. I couldn't play.
Wow.
I don't know. I could not do it. I stayed up all night. I was thrown up. I had a bad temperature. It's honestly as sick as I've probably ever been in East Lansing. But so the first time I saw him was the game at Purdue, and I was shocked at how on made shots, Kalen Lucas was bringing this thing right down our backs, even on makes.
Yeah.
I mean, the way that they used to push the ball was incredible. Yeah. He'd get out there. Travis Walton would get out there, and these dudes would just push the tempo. And I mean, if they're running like that on makes, think about what they were doing on misses. The only thing we worked on, transition defense and rebounding. And Matt Painter always said it to us, regardless of how we shoot, if we rebound and hang in there and we keep them out of transition, we will give ourselves a chance to win. And that's not been them this year, but they've still found ways to be effective.
Yeah, I mean, I think Izzo's done a pretty good job adapting over the years. You know, he's still obviously old school as a coach and how he runs his program. But in terms of how they play, he's been pretty darn adaptable.
No, he has. And you know where they've been a lot better this year, too? And it did rear its ugly head a little bit in Madison, as they've been much better not turning the basketball over,
yeah,
taking care of it.
They were awful last year.
I mean, there were some times the last couple of seasons where you're like, this is almost impressive to see how bad they are taking care of the ball. But they shoot it from three. They've taken care of it better. And they've got an experienced group. They could win the Big Ten. I think Purdue is the favorite, but if Michigan State won it or got a piece of it, I wouldn't be shocked.
All right, the last thing before we go, I'm going to throw your name in the hat right now, officially, to replace Kevin Warren as the Big Ten commissioner. I'm putting your name in the hat. Rob Hummel, I'm starting the campaign right now. Robbie Hummel for Big Ten commissioner. What do you think?
I've got so much experience in football that I think that that's a really good decision. Now that I've done a year of XM radio doing some football shows in the fall, I think I am maybe ready for that.
I think you're ready. I don't see why not. No, Kevin Warren goes to the Bears. It's funny because Kevin Warren was crucified, absolutely crucified.
The football stuff. Yeah.
And then he lands UCLA and USC, and everything changes.
And the media deal, yeah. I mean, he's got a very complex legacy, I would say. You know, the football thing, and that's a tough decision. That was, what, in July or August?
Yeah.
And COVID really started for us, I would say, in March. I mean, think about when the Ivy League canceled their postseason play. I was like, the Ivy League doesn't care about sports. How soft. Week later, shut down. They're just smarter than everybody else. And that's one of those situations. And it's not like we're talking a year out. There was still a lot of unknowns about COVID-19 and some of the impacts of getting it and then going back on the field. In hindsight, looking back, was it the right decision? Probably not. The SEC played, the ACC played, nothing bad happened. And the Big Ten decided, in week six that they were going to play too. I don't envy the situations he's had to take over. I can understand why he'd want to go to the Bears after 3 years of this. It probably feels like 33 years of being the commissioner. But he's a football guy.
I know is, here's what I'll say. Big Ten men's basketball coaches are not crying today.
Well,
they're not.
Now, what about we'll Fran McCaffrey's probably not happy. That's his college teammate. I bet he doesn't like to see him leave.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think it'll depend on who's next, right? A lot of these leagues have gone outside the box lately, Big 12 and Pac-12.
But don't you think there's one man that at least is coming to my mind as is getting the first call for this? And that's the current ACC commissioner, Jim Phillips.
Jim Phillips was at Northwestern. As good a dude as it gets.
But everyone thought he was the front runner for the job the first time around.
But why
now he's got experience. Now I think he was pretty critical of the Big Ten.
How they handled everything.
Expansion.
Right? Yeah.
But, I mean, what else is he going to say? His league's potentially going to get decimated by it if they were to start, you know, if the SEC comes for Clemson or the Big Ten came for Carolina and split up Carolina and Duke. That would crush their league. What's he going to say? I would be shocked if he's not on the short list for people.
Oh, he'll be on the short list. It's just
And basketball coach would be hyped because he is definitely –
Yes.
Ingrained in the basketball fiber, whether it's on the committees for the NCAA tournament. You know, you'd see him everywhere.
Yeah.
When he was at Northwestern, he was all over the place at basketball games.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, it was good doing the pod. I'm glad I got you the Twizzlers deal. Twizzlers are awesome. Underrated.
The question is, in this care package, is it going to be straight Twizzlers? Or am I going to benefit and
like Hershey's kinda, kisses?
Will I be getting all the Hershey stuff? That's TBD. But thanks to Tom. Thank you, Tom, for making fun of me. And yeah.
What about me?
I mean, you started the discussion, but
what about
Tom
me?
Drove.
I mean, I Tom got drove, this deal done.
Tom drove the discussion. So I think if anyone deserves credit for this, it's Tom on Twitter.
All right,
and
Tom,
I thank Tom for that.
Tom, we're going to give you a cut of Rob's NIL deal if he gets one.
No, there's no cut for Tom, but there is a shout out for Tom.
All I know is I want some Valentine's Day Hershey's kisses if you get a whole.
You'll still be down in South Carolina not doing shit.
I'm working my ass off here. What are you talking about? I'm going out next week. I got a great week. I'm finally going to hit the road.
Going to hit the road. That's a statement.
Listen,
where are you going?
Kansas at Kansas State on Tuesday.
Oh, what a tough game to have to go cover.
A great game. Great game. I've never been to a game at Kansas State.
The Octagon of Doom. It's a good spot.
Never been there.
Then I've got a restaurant for you there. They've got some good places in Manhattan.
Then I'm going Arkansas, Missouri, and then potentially Indiana, Illinois the next day.
Oh, I'll be at Indiana, Illinois.
You will?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that.
I'm doing the game. Yeah, I think I am at least. What date is that?
Next Thursday. So it's like a week from today, the 19th at Illinois.
Never mind. Wait. It's I thought it was – is that not on – oh, maybe I'm not there. What's Tuesday the 24th? Is that Indiana, Illinois?
Hold on, I'll look. I could have sworn. So Illinois do they have them twice? They have Indiana on the 19th at home, and then they don't play Indiana again until February 18th in Bloomington.
Oh, I'm doing the game in Bloomington.
I may go to that one. We'll see if Indiana is still nationally relevant by then.
That'll be interesting.
I don't know. All right. All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Make sure you subscribe. Hit the give us any comments you got. Any other deals that maybe Hummel should be working on other than Twizzlers and Hershey's and anything else. I don't know. We got to just try to take care of Hummel here or else he's asking for big, big money.
I did have another podcast company approach me. And
did you?
Yeah. It was Evan Turner came and asked if I'd be interested. So I should leverage
negotiations. That.
Negotiations.
That's bullshit.
I should leverage this.
I've been texting with Evan.
Yeah, he tried to poach me. I'm a loyal guy. I told him no. I could always open back up negotiations. You know, we go way back to our days of being roommates in Serbia. So
I know you do. I know you do. But I don't think Evan can get you a Twizzlers deal like I did.
It's probably awesome.
All right, we'll see you next week.